The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 18, verses 12 to 17. Please turn to page 219 of the New Testament. I will now read the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So he had them ejected from the court. Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatever. Amen. Before we begin, there is an announcement to make. For every fourth and fifth week of the month, Pastor Jung Hanjo was supposed to give sermons. However, Pastor Jung is on his sabbatical month till the end of August. So the sermons on every fourth and fifth week will be given by Pastor Yun Sun-jae, who is in charge of all external businesses of the church. It has already been 3 years since Pastor Yun has been with our church. But because he was not in charge of any parish, not many fellows of our church know about him very well. Pastor Yun was born in 1960 and has graduated from Korea Aerospace University. So he may be more than 10 years younger than I am, but he has entered Theological Seminary of the Presbyterian College and Theological Seminary the same year that I did. He was a close friend of mine since the first day of entering the seminary, and throughout all 3 years, he was one of the top three elite students among 150 classmates. Of course, I was nowhere near him. After graduation, Pastor Yun served as a full-time pastor at Somang Church, one of the most renowned churches in Korea. During his service, he received the calling for missionary work in Mongolia and was dispatched as the first missionary to Mongolia from the Presbyterian Church of Korea in 1992. Pastor Yun went empty-handed to Mongolia with his wife, Pastor Lee Ge-shim. In 1993, he rented two classrooms and established the Ulaanbaatar Korean Language Institute. 2 years later, in 1995, with the rising number of applicants, Pastor Yun's institute received college accreditation from the Mongolian government, and he served as a dean of Ulaanbaatar College. Every year, the size of the college grew, and it settled stably in the Mongolian society. And in order to make the college managerial subjects into a public organization, he donated every school property and established the Ulaanbaatar College Foundation in 2002. Together with the people who had will in college development. At the same time, the college was promoted as a university, and Pastor Yun was appointed as the first principal of the Ulaanbaatar University and served two consecutive terms. Altogether, he spent 16 years and 6 months of his life in missionary work in Mongolia through education. Since 2007, the number of students exceeded 2,000, and the university became completely independent in financial terms. Later, the university grew continuously, and the total number of students and faculties from kindergarten to doctoral program, including elementary, middle, and high school that Pastor Lee Ge-shim had established, has reached almost 4,500. As a result, the Ulaanbaatar University has become the second biggest private university in Mongol and is acknowledged as the sixth most prestigious university among 140 Mongolian universities. This includes all national and private universities. It is not too much to say that the Ulaanbaatar University is the most successful and exemplary case of a foreign mission school or university that a Korean missionary has established. Pastor Yun and his wife developed the Alaglant Church and handed it over to the Mongolians and served at the Naegtugaer Church for 11 years and helped to stand on its own and handed it down to a local pastor as well. Around their 16th year of serving as a dean and principal of the university, so almost 20 years since the couple has landed in Mongolia, Pastor Yun and his wife handed over the property rights and management rights to the local servers, to the foundation, and decided to return to their original position as missionary and minister. Pastor Yun resigned in 2010, despite the dissuasion of the foundation, and transferred all the rights as the principal and director of the foundation. He took his sabbatical year and served as a visiting professor at Fuller Theological Seminary and officially withdrew from all his positions in Mongolia in November 2011, 20 years after he has first set his foot in Mongolia. The board of Ulaanbaatar University even offered a lifetime honorary president position to Pastor Yun, who has voluntarily resigned from his position as the director of the foundation, but he refused this as well. Pastor Yun and Lee left Mongolia empty-handed, just like the time they arrived in Mongolia 20 years ago. During the time when Pastor Yun and his wife were on the sabbatical year, when Pastor Yun was a visiting professor at the Fuller Theological Seminary, I was also on the sabbatical month for 6 months in 2011. During that year, in May, I had a chance to visit the States and asked them to meet me in Los Angeles on May 15th. And I asked him to come to my church and help us. As I have already told you, Pastor Yun and I were classmates in the seminary, and I was far behind him in terms of grades. He was also acknowledged as a renowned pastor with leadership, administrative ability, through his 20 years of successful ministry in Mongol. To be honest, it was quite inappropriate for me to ask a man like him to come help me at the church in which I was the pastor in charge. However, I was able to ask them because I believed in Pastor Yun and Lee's consistent resolution as pastors and missionaries. Pastor Yun, who is also a doctor of pedagogy, was offered the position as dean at a seminary and pastor in charge from two well-known churches. But he gladly came to serve for the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church in Yanghwajin. So now, Pastor Yun is in charge of all external affairs of our church, and his wife, Pastor Lee Geshim, is in charge of the church schools, using her experiences as the administrator at the Ulaanbaatar University and as the principal at the elementary, middle, and high schools in Mongolia. I can't thank enough of how Pastor Jung Hanjo, Pastor Yun Sunjae, and Pastor Lee Geshim devote themselves to take charge of every internal, external affairs and the church schools. This is truly a blessing from God to our church. While Pastor Jung has the talent to draw people's attention to the Bible, Pastor Yun has the ability to make people see the world through the Bible. So from now on until August, the Lord will enable us to experience the grace that we have never experienced before through Pastor Yun every fourth and fifth week of the month. According to the Jewish law, one can establish a synagogue where there are 10 or more adult Jewish males. So the Jews were able to build several numbers of synagogues in places where there were many Jewish people. There were numbers of synagogues in Corinth where there were many Jewish residents. The Jews at the synagogues of Corinth, where Paul first spread the gospel, harassed Paul and stubbornly opposed against Paul to hinder him from spreading the gospel at their synagogues. At that time, Titus Justus, the owner of the house next to a synagogue, offered his home as a church, and Paul made this foreigner's home as a new base for spreading the gospel. So, like it says in verse 8, Crispus, the head of another synagogue, came to Paul and listened to the gospel, and he and his entire relatives received the Lord to their hearts. Also, many other Corinthians came to Titus Justus's home and were baptized because they felt more comfortable at Titus's place than they did at the disparate Jewish synagogue. This is a mysterious history of salvation that was possible because Paul was expelled from the Jewish synagogues where he first spread the words of God. However, this infuriated the Jews who have cast Paul away from their synagogue. Think about it. They have expelled Paul, and then he set up a church at a home next to their synagogue and started preaching. At the same time, many heads of other Jewish synagogues and their relatives, as well as a good number of Corinthians, have listened to the gospel and were baptized. Would you have tolerated this if you were one of them? Wouldn't you have tried to harm Paul in every way possible? Paul even thought about leaving Corinth and stopped preaching until the day he left Corinth. That night, if Jesus did not come to encourage Paul to not be silent, to not stop preaching, he would have definitely left Corinth. Today's sermon will show the time of the event, who the leader was of the Jews that harassed and expelled Paul, And finally, what became of him? Verse 12 of today's text says, while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. The time was when Gallio became the proconsul of Achaia in Corinth, which was an administrative district of the Roman Empire. Achaia was an administrative district along the southern Greek region, and Athens was also part of Achaia as well. According to an inscription in the synagogue of Delphi, Gallio served as the proconsul of Achaia since 51 to 52 AD. Gallio was the older brother of Seneca, a famous Roman politician and philosopher, who was also a private teacher to Nero. His original name was Novatus, but when he was adopted by Junius Gallio, a member of the Senate, his name was changed to Gallio. Gallio and his younger brother Seneca once had a sturdy hold of power in the Roman Empire, but in 65 AD, he and Seneca, who was alleged for taking part in removing Nero, had to take their own lives under the command of Nero. But today's sermon talks about the time when Gallio's power was at its peak. When Gallio was newly appointed as a proconsul, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the court. The Greek verb katepistemi is translated as rise and stand against in English, and it originally means to pour or to attack. This means that the Jews have all united to make a surprise attack on Paul and dragged him to the court. The leader of this event was Sosthenes, as it is written in verse 17. He was the head of the synagogue where Paul preached. Sosthenes was the one who encouraged the Jewish people to go against Paul and to harass him. Sosthenes mobilized the Jews who followed him to attack Paul and drag him before the court upon Gallio's appointment as a new proconsul. This was because newly appointed proconsuls were usually easily overwhelmed by the public, as they were not yet accustomed to the local situations. If you visit the old historical site of Corinth, you will be able to see that the remains of the court where Paul was dragged to by the Jews still exists. Verse 13, this man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. The accusation on Paul by Sosthenes and his followers was that Paul was persuading people to worship God contrary to the commandments. The Greek verb lego, which is translated as saying, is written in present participle in the original text. This means that the Jews have repeatedly shouted out the same accusation. But translating the Greek word nomos as commandment is not an appropriate translation. The Greek word nomos refers not only to the Jewish commandments, but also to the general law. In other words, the Roman law at the time. So the New International Version translated the text accurately as follows. This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. Sosthenes mobilized the Jews and accused Paul of going against the national law of the Roman Empire, not of going against the Jewish commandments. At the time, in the Roman Empire, only those religions that were allowed by the empire were received permission for propagation. So Sosthenes charged Paul of breaking the Roman law and propagating illegal religious cult to persuade innocent people to bring disorder in the society. In other words, he accused Paul on political issues regarding the Roman law instead of as a matter of faith and religion. Politics is originally an activity to save people, but when politics meets with any other issue, or if even the slightest problem is seen as a political one, then it can kill people instead. This can be applied in religious politics, whether it be Christianism or Buddhism. Even if people with religious authority commit unjust things on people they consider as hindrance, people shut their mouths quiet when they think it's a matter of politics. This is the nature of politics, secular or religious. The reason why Jewish leaders were able to crucify Jesus was because they accused him as a political offender. In that sense, Sosthenes was indeed a very sly man. The reason why he accused Paul for political reasons related to the Roman law is not only because he wanted to make Paul an outlaw, but also to eradicate the gospel and Christianism that Paul has been preaching about. However, Proconsul Gallio, a former central politician of the Roman Empire and the older brother to Seneca, was not quite the type of person which Sosthenes and his followers could control with their fingers. Verse 14. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you." When Paul tried to defend himself upon Sosthenes and other Jews' accusation, Gallio stopped him as if he did not need to hear of any explanation and spoke to the Jewish people. What he meant was that if Paul committed any wrongdoing or vicious crime, then it will be right for him to accept their complaint. In other words, Paul's behavior had nothing to do with the Roman law, so he could not accept their complaint. And then Gallio announced as follows, verse 15, "But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." Gallio considered that the accusation on Paul by the Jews was more of an issue regarding the language, title, and commandments. The word that means language in Greek is logos, which refers to the Lord's words. As an example, Gallio considered Paul's propagation activity of telling that Jesus is a Savior that was mentioned in the Old Testament was a matter of a different way of interpreting the Old Testament, a matter of the title Jesus Christ, and the matter of applying Jewish commandments. He was fully aware that Paul's issue had nothing to do with any political problems related to the Roman law, but it was more of an internal religious thing among the Jews. So he dismissed the claim by telling the Jews that he will not be a part of it. Sosthenes tried to frame Paul by using the Roman law, but Gallio refused to take the case, telling them that it was only a matter regarding Jewish commandments. Verse 16. So he had them ejected from the court. The fact that Gallio had dismissed the Jews from the court would mean that even though he had rejected the claim on Paul, Sosthenes and other Jews have not yielded to the result and continuously made big fusses about it. The proconsul immediately made the guards to force the Jews out from the court, something unimaginable happened at the same time. Verse 17. Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court, but Gallio shared no concern whatever. They all, in the passage, refers to the Corinthians that were present at the court. The court at the time was an open place where anyone was free to observe. When Sosthenes and other Jews dragged Paul into the court and unanimously accused Paul before Gallio, Corinthians gathered into the court, wondering what was going on. They saw Paul dragged into the court by the Jews as if he was a criminal, yet not looking like one. Paul seemed very weak. They saw the Jews viciously framing Paul, and they witnessed Gallio turning down their claim. Still, the Jews did not comply to the dismissal of Gallio and made a big fuss about it, as if they were protesting against him. Corinthians who were there all felt the fury build inside themselves as they watched the heinous Jews act rude. They all instantly seized Sosthenes, the leader, and the most vicious of all the Jews, and hit him before the court, as soon as the Jews have been dismissed. The Greek verb tripto, which is translated as to beat, also includes the meaning of beating with a stick or fist. It doesn't mean to tap on somebody. Corinthians, who were raged, did not just slap or hit Sosthenes while passing by, but they actually beat him in a mob. Sosthenes, who was all proud just a few minutes ago, surprisingly became the subject of mob to the Corinthians. Ironically, Paul was able to freely preach without any hindrance for the rest of the time he stayed in Corinth.
Today, we are
The surprising fact is that Gallio did not try to help Sosthenes while he was being mobbed right in front of him. This was more surprising because he was in charge of all the safety of the citizens. More shocking is that the Jewish followers who were persuaded by Sosthenes to attack and accuse Paul in court also ignored Sosthenes while he was being beaten up by Corinthians. This was God's frightening judgments on earth for Sosthenes, who has viciously tried to harm Paul. If he did not repent afterwards, then he would not have been able to avoid God's eternal judgments after his death on earth. We can learn two things from today's passage. First, when we are cruelly harassed by others while doing good deeds, as Paul did, we still should not give up on carrying the good deed on. When the time comes, God will take care of the villains in his own way. And we will therefore become a stronger, free man. Second, if we are harassing anyone in any way, for any reason, we should stop it right away without hesitation. Such acts will draw God's frightening judgment upon ourselves. If we are about to give up on carrying on the Lord's good deeds because someone has been maliciously harassing us, let us take this time of second week of Lent to repent our weak faith. We may be beheaded, like Paul did, for living a life of virtue and pursuing the Lord's will. But this is in fact a way of living an eternal life as a free man in the Christ. If we are committing an arrogant and ignorant crime of harassing someone, we should all the more repent right away. Harassing someone is like a suicidal act of recklessly throwing themselves before God's judgment. Just like Sosthenes was beaten up by Corinthians helplessly for viciously harassing Paul. There is nothing scarier than God's judgment, especially when God is watching our every move. No one who turns his or her back toward God and harass others can get away from God's judgment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please forgive our faithlessness for trying to stray away from your path soon as we feel feel we are being harassed or disadvantaged. Please forgive us our arrogant and ignorant behaviors for harassing others without hesitation, while considering the gain and loss or our emotions, even as we say we believe in Jesus Christ. Let us not forget the paradox of true life, that if we try to live for ourselves, we will die forever before your judgments, but that we will live eternally if we die for you. Allow us to rely on you, O Lord. You have died on the cross to pay for our sins and resurrected from the dead. And help us to walk straight on the path of life and truth. By doing so, for as long as we are alive, allow us to become like Paul, who saved the lives of the people, like a true Christian who was saved in Jesus Christ. And let us avoid to be like Sosthenes, who was brought to God's judgment upon himself by harassing other people. Amen.